Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to goldradio.fm. Available online at housestreet.com, talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to goldradio.fm, podcasting in 0.9995. I'm Jim Goddard. My guest is Jim Willey, founder of the Hat Trick Letter, online at golden-jackass.com. Jim, welcome back to goldradio.fm.
Well, it's good to be back. I wish the national circumstances were better, but they are what they are. And we're in for, I think, several months of extremely difficult times.
The latest issue of the Hat Trick Letter is out. Can you tell us about it and how people can subscribe?
Yes, it's out, and there's a good deal about the election, and I have a couple of interesting additions. It's the September Hat Trick Letter report on golden-jackass.com. I have an interesting layout of 30 different events that have precipitated, led to, and resulted in this problem with our countries, where our leaders are not devoted to the people, where our leaders are under bribery and control by the Chinese Communist Party and by the Geneva globalists, who are basically the operating control room of the satanic Khazarian mafia. The overriding theme throughout the two or three dozen events is that the people have looked the other way for 35 years or more for narcotics, managed, operated, distributed, and protected by our governments, at least the security wings of our governments. And they built up a $1 trillion war chest, and with that they have bought our government. And part of that, well, there was a parallel to that. In the 1970s and 80s, there was outsourcing of industry, and a lot of it went to China. And they, at a peak, and it was a little over 10 years ago, around 2012 or so, Chinese had $3 trillion worth of U.S. government bonds. And with that, they bought our government, and they bought our military, and they bought a good deal of the Canadian government. So by discharging our industry and permitting narcotics, we have lost our countries. And that's why we are where we are. And I have a lot of details on that. But I also cover what I call the BRICS. It's not my name. It's not an original name that I gave it, but it's the BRICS, Bretton Woods. I cover that with some of the expectations. They have a meeting in Russia in a city called Kazan. I hear it's in the southern part of Russia. The BRICS meeting is hosted by the Russians, and they're in charge of the BRICS for all this year. So there'll be four or five meetings that the Russians are in charge of. So there's a lot going on, and the dollar is facing its sunset, and the Fed, the Federal Reserve in the United States has lowered interest rates in the face of a debt default. So we have some very bizarre events internationally rejecting the dollar, and in the United States trying to produce a bond rally to help out the banks who are holding too many bonds. Some people accuse it of being a feel-good rally before the election, but that's all out the window with the manufactured hurricanes. So there's a lot in the September report, golden-jackass.com. I invite people to go there, sign up for a consult call. I did one this morning. I did one a couple of days ago. I've done about 770 of them in 5 years, not quite 5 years. So it's been interesting, and I call that my boots on the ground supplementary research. I have some rather interesting different items that we'll get to in the question. So why don't we proceed here, Jim? Thanks.
Do you think the Fed will continue to drop interest rates?
Yeah, they set the expectations for several, and they like to do what they set the expectations for. What I find hilarious, it's tragic, but it's also hilarious. They set the expectations for 150 basis point cut in all, and in like 4, 5, 6 different FOMC meetings, Federal Open Market Committee. They set the 150 basis point cut on a, you know, a foundation of false economic statistics. So, you know, don't expect a good outcome. I think what they might probably do is engineer a stock market rally, and as soon as Trump is in charge, they'll pull the rug out. That's kind of what I think. But yeah, we should see continued rate cuts.
The Dow hit new all-time highs at the end of September. Could we see a pullback?
Yeah, but not during the current regime, Biden show. They're not going to have a collapse on their watch. Anyone who thinks that is brain dead. I'm very concerned about what happens after Trump takes control. And for those who are a little bit slow between the ears, it's not a neck and neck race. It's not even close. Trump has a 40 to 60% lead. 40 to 60% lead. And there are several dozen data points that support that. So anyone who believes the news is brain dead or just a stupid shit liberal retard.
What is the U.S. dollar rise predicting?
It's sunset. It's end. It's rejection. This is a very unusual paradox. I've addressed this many times, but I've been saying now ever since about 2016. So I've been saying this for 8 years. The dollar will rise, then rise some more before it vanishes. The dollar must rise when countries, as part of the Forex system, it's the IMF system, the Forex, foreign exchange currency, when they sell treasury bonds and exit the dollar reserves and, you know, reduce their dollar reserves, their currency goes down and the dollar goes up. It's a paradox. When derivatives are liquidated, there's a lot of demand for the dollar, so the dollar goes up. When poor countries struggle to pay off debt because they're getting harmed, they use extraordinary means to pay off their debt. They're paying off dollar debt, so there's more demand. The dollar going up is a paradox, and I've covered this many, many times. I've given the Japanese example. They sold a lot of treasury bonds in a one-year period, from late 2021 to late 2022, they sold almost $200 billion worth of treasury bonds, and their currency went down over 20%. The dollar went up versus the yen by 20% when they dumped the treasury bonds. And notice that that story is never in the New York Times rag or the Wall Street Journal promotional piece for Wall Street. Okay, the dollar is going to continue going up. It means the supernova is in progress of the end of the dollar.
The drums of World War III are beating and crude oil has been moving higher. What do you see ahead for crude?
It's probably going to continue higher. You know, you could make a very bizarre interpretation that the war drums against Iran, also known as Persia, they're beating. The conflict in the Middle East is heating up. Could it be that the Rockefellers are behind that and they have like a control cable to the Trump office in order to get the price of oil up? Maybe they need the price of oil to go up to liquidate petrodollar derivatives. I expect to see oil continue to go up. I don't think it's going to go up to $200 or anything crazy like that, because I believe cooler heads will prevail with respect to Iran/Persia. And I don't want to get into a big discussion of that, but on this, but I do believe that the war with respect to Iran and Israel is being hyped with some false imagery and information, but it is serious. It is serious.
Gold hit a new all-time high in September. What's your outlook for gold short-term and long-term?
Well, short-term, let's just say to the end of the year. We only have 2.5 months left for this year. I think we might see another run in gold. Gold is it's the measure for global conflict, tension, malaise, and we're going to get a lot of that. The fascist Dems, I refuse to call them Democrats because there's nothing democratic about the fascist Dems. They're a fascist party, and they're operating with the name Democrat, but they're not Democrat because they don't believe in free speech, political opponents, or much of anything else that has to do with fair play. I do believe that we're going to see another run in gold. I don't think it's going to reach 3,000 till early next year, but that's very significant. Long-term, I think we have a very important phenomenon with respect to gold, that the Rothschild central banks are in deep trouble. They're very insolvent. The U.S. government just got information that the Fed lost $200 billion last year. They usually hand over quite a nice little handsome profit, but they have contributed, our central bank, the Fed, has contributed $200 billion to the deficit. So these central banks, and you know, it's not much different in France, Italy, Germany, England, they're all in trouble. And I have a few very, very smart colleagues, and we communicate almost every day. And last week, I made a message to my guys and said, I think the central banks are going to make sure we get to 5,000 in gold in the next year and a half or two. And one very sharp colleague wrote back and said, it won't be enough. They really need 10,000. Okay. The gold price long term has tremendous prospects. So don't give up if we, you know, go to 2850 in December and say, well, that's about it. No, we're going over 5,000. We've got a tremendous growth in the money supply, and it has not pushed up the gold price. And for a good 30 or 40 years, the gold price was extremely highly correlated with the money supply. But after 9/11, that has not been the case. They're not going to escape that correlation. We got too many justifications with debt, money supply, war, you name it, liquidation of derivatives. We're heading to 3,000, then 5,000, and then higher.
Silver hit a new high for this cycle this month. What's your outlook for silver, short and long term?
Short term is difficult because there's Bank of America standing in the way. They're 1 billion ounces short on silver. And for those who are not aware of that, just take special note. That is an obstacle. It's a very big obstacle. And other Wall Street banks are short silver, but not anywhere near as much as Bank of America. So they're helping Bank of America keep it down. The trouble with keeping it down is it eradicates supply. The Chinese are buying silver for just kind of a constant policy of replenishing and building their industrial silver stockpile. But at the same time, India is buying a lot of silver for their solar farms, and they're becoming a global leader in the solar farms. They've got probably about 5 different gigantic solar farms. So the short term, I think there's a decent chance, Jim, that we're going to wake up one day and we're going to be surprised that silver's up $2 and, you know, like pressuring 35 US, and it's not going to stop, and that it'll lead to short covering. And I believe that if and when, I shouldn't say if, when we get over $35 silver, we're also going to see simultaneously announcements that Bank of America is defending itself from a banking failure. Now, those are carefully chosen words. After 35 silver, Bank of America will be defending themselves against a banking failure. Now, some are going to launch off and misquote that, as they almost always do, and say, Jim Willie is saying Bank of America is going to have a banking failure. No, I said they're going to defend themselves against a banking failure, and they're going to probably hold it together with bailing wire and rubber bands and whatever. But behind the scenes, they're going to be receiving a lot of daily bailouts in the billions. Now, if they've got a billion ounces short and they're, you know, stuck at the $22 silver level, well, right now, they're 10 billion in the hole. Okay, that's a pretty big hole. I really believe Bank of America is to be focused upon, especially since Warren Buffett, on two different occasions in the last several months, one was about May and the other one was, I think, August. Warren Buffett of Berkshire Hathaway sold a billion shares of Bank of America on two occasions. So he knows something that's going on. He knows about a very dark place. He knows about an enormous loss. He knows about an intractable situation. Berkshire Hathaway is telling us Bank of America is going down, and that means silver will go up. On the long-term prospects, you know, as we see gold go to $3,000 and $5,000 and higher, we will see silver break $100 without even a sweat. Remember, 10, 20, 30, 50, 80, 130, Fibonacci sequence. We're about to make a run on 50. It could happen soon. It could happen just on the news of the outbreak of civil war in the United States. $100 without even a sweat, long term.
Do you expect to see more volatility ahead for Bitcoin?
Yeah, I do. It's, you know, to me, Bitcoin is on the receiving end of like four horses pulling in four different directions. It's very difficult to predict Bitcoin, and therefore I don't very much. But Bitcoin is used by legitimate fund managers, often in Asia, to make big payments around the globe so they can avoid the U.S. dollar. I call them the ferrymen. The ferrymen. Well, if you're going to use the dollar and you're going to move a lot of money, you got to pay us. Why? What the hell did you do? Why do you pay the ferrymen? Because they're occupying the offices that have a big dollar sign over them. So that's why the fund managers try to use something different. And you know, they're going eventually to use a lot of the BRICS alternative gold-backed currencies, and not currencies, but payment vehicles, payment systems. But there's still a lot of underground legitimate money moving around in Bitcoin. And there's a lot of underground dirty money moving around in Bitcoin. We're going to see Donald Trump give Bitcoin a role. He wants to have it to be play a role in U.S. government reserves. Well, that's fine. But that also means that the government's going to have their hand in there, and I don't like that. But, you know, Bitcoin is going to be around. And, you know, whenever you hear Wall Street say Bitcoin's going to zero, that's the time to buy, because they're always 180 degrees wrong. And it's intentional.
Hurricane Helene and now Milton. Does the technology exist for hurricanes like this to be man-made?
Absolutely. And I learned about that in a very big way in 1995. I learned about it again in 2005. I learned about it more when Puerto Rico got the vengeance of Wall Street. I think that was 2017. Governor Padilla of Puerto Rico was told, do not default on your bonds. Too many Wall Street hedge funds have investment in your Puerto Rican bonds. And Governor Padilla said, we have to. And within a few months, Puerto Rico was hit three times with a hurricane. You know, I refer to hurricane history, Jim. There's some things that hurricanes never do and have never done. They don't take a U-turn like they did in Houston several years ago and come back and hit Houston a second time. They don't hit the same island or location a second time in the same hurricane season. And Puerto Rico got hit twice in 1 month and then a third time in the same year. That's what you call steering the hurricane. They're man-made with microwaves and other methods, but the primary one is microwave. And in 2016, we had Hurricane Sandy hit the New Jersey coast. And, you know, these are not difficult things to figure out. There's a website called Dutch Sinse, S-I-N-S-E, and I followed them in September and October leading up to the 2016 election. Oh, I'm sorry. I got that wrong. 2012, the second election for Obama, 2012. Hurricane Sandy drenched the New Jersey coast, and we were watching how they built it. Okay, you know, if you're not technologically trained, then get the hell out of the room with your opinion, because it's worthless. If you don't understand microwave technology and heating up a column in the atmosphere that aids and helps to form an eddy, which becomes a storm, a tropical depression, and you start, you know, the egg beater. If you don't understand that, then get out of the room. Your opinion doesn't mean anything. It's worthless. It's less than worthless because you're telling people it doesn't exist when you're dumb as a rock. Okay? There is no naturally occurring microwave in the atmosphere. None. Zero. Zero. None. So when you see it, it means HAARP is at work and they're forming a hurricane. And when they form a hurricane, they can continue working it and steering it. I learned about this 30 years ago. 30. And every several years, I learn more about it. And I've seen the devices. There's a big, it's like a huge net, acres and acres in Alaska. They made it mobile on ships, and they cover up the device with a big white dome. And there were several of them spotted off Turkey. What was that, a year ago, 18 months ago? Turkey got out of NATO. Turkey, I think, demanded too much on narcotics within Sirlik Air Force Base. And we failed in killing Erdogan. So we thought, well, let's give him 140 earthquakes. Anyone who thinks Turkey's 140 earthquakes are naturally occurring, again, dumb as a rock. Dumb as a rock. We have a lot of really good people, Jim, who are wearing MAGA hats and who are in our parade, and they're dumb as rocks. And there are a lot of people on the other side who know about HAARP, and they try to pretend that it doesn't exist. Okay, HAARP is real, and it forms hurricanes when the microwaves are pointed upward, and when they're pointed downward, they create earthquakes. And this is also very well known to the people who have training in science. So listen to the people who have training in science. I have some. I don't have a lot. I have enough where I can communicate with scientists and make a lot of sense out of what's going on. All right. Yes, hurricanes are not only man-made, they're intensified and they're steered. Notice that there's a catchphrase in the mainstream news now. It's called natural intensification. There is not a lot of natural intensification. There's some. But these two, Hurricane Helene and Milton, have tremendous unnatural, technologically enhanced and intensified force. So they're bringing out the propaganda of natural intensification when it is not the case. Hurricane Helene stayed stationary for 6 days while it was intensified before they decided, let's move it into the southeast United States. I got a phone call on Monday, last week on Monday, and it was a client in Georgia, and he said, Jim, I just drove through a 100-mile stretch between Savannah and Macon, Georgia, and I saw almost every single tree from the interstate highway on its side, down, broken, destroyed. I must have seen 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000 trees. Okay, that's the kind of damage in northern Georgia. He was heading toward Atlanta. The major damage was in the corner of South Carolina, the northern part of Georgia, western part of North Carolina, eastern part of Tennessee, and the southern part of Kentucky. I saw a map of lights, you know, nighttime, you know, satellite view of the United States on the eastern side. And it was the before and after the hurricane. And it looked like there was maybe about a 300 by 1,000 mile ellipse in the southeast with no lights. Electricity is out in an ellipse of 300 by 1,000 miles.
What's the motive behind the Hurricane Alley?
There are multiple motives, but I can make reference to a couple of important ones. The states that have been harmed the most are conservative red states, and now the conservative red state of Florida is under threat. There's not a single Democrat, fascist, Dem, blue state that is being threatened, not a single one. I realize that the typical hurricane pathways go through the traditional red states, the conservative states of the South, but that needs to be considered very seriously. I got to tell you something, Jim. This is I get a lot of information. I have a lot of people who like to share it with me because they know I appreciate it and they know I will run with it. But there's a fellow in the Appalachian Northern region, and he said, Jim, I've got it on good authority. There's a truck that they have been driving through the Carolina region, and it's like a portable harp truck, and it has a grounding system of nearby 5G cell towers, and they use it to direct a microwave straight up, and that attracts and steers the hurricane. So they directed it to western part of North Carolina. And that brings up the other motive of quartz mine and lithium mines. They're driving out the residents in those areas saying your small city and town is ruined. It's destroyed. There's nothing to go back to. And they don't even give them like an eminent domain check, a paycheck. They don't give them anything. I want to limit what I say in accusations, but let it just be said that there's violence in those areas where they're vacating the people, and there are claims being made, and BlackRock made a big multi-million dollar investment in a company that got a Biden federal grant to do lithium mining in that area. So it looks like a prima facie case can be built that the hurricane was steered to an area to vacate the residents and take control of lithium mines and quartz mines, which are important for at Spruce Hill, a plant there, important for the chip industry, semiconductor industry. So yeah, there's a big argument that can be made, that motive for this particular Hurricane Alley. But let me just say something very generally before I get to other comments. They messed with the wrong region. There may not be a lot of wealthy people in there, in the Appalachian region of Carolina, Tennessee, Kentucky, but they're hunters. They're hunters. And they're hunting FEMA.
If the White Alliance is in control, why aren't the devastating hurricanes being stopped?
Well, it's kind of like the argument the FEMA director, Deanna Criswell, is nasty. Where is she? Where is she? How do you arrest her if you don't know where she is? Well, apparently she'd been hiding in Warsaw, Poland. And that surprised a lot of people. All right, if these HAARP devices are portable, if they can be put on trucks, if they can be put on ships and covered up, how do you find them? I know that there are a lot of arguments to be made. One of the clients I had this discussion with yesterday said they can track the heat signatures and find out where they come from. Well, you know, that's partially true. They can probably say we have a 10-mile by 10-mile area in the Gulf of Mexico where we think there might be a HAARP device loaded onto a U.S. naval vessel. And maybe they can come close to that. I think, Jim, in the next month, we might be getting stories about how elements within the U.S. military are firing on elements of the military that are involved with the HAARP. It's been the U.S. Air Force for years and years running the HAARP system, but now it's moved to the Navy. I got to tell you a quick little story. I'll be as brief as I can. I had a client several years ago. He's a great guy. He actually came to visit me. And during the course of our long two-hour dinner, we talked about a lot of different things. And he used to work in U.S. military research, which means scientific research for weapons and other things. And he said, Jim, I had a really good friend. And I had to break away with him because I realized that he was a bit sociopathic. And I said, do you keep in touch with him? He said, well, once every year or two, he went off to work on the HAARP project. And he took a lot of pleasure in some of their exercises and implementations and attacks. And I said, what kind of attacks? He said, well, you know, earthquakes when pointed down, hurricanes when pointed up. But there's a lot more to it than that. They can create a wall against California and make a drought so they get no rainfall. They can make a wall. So there's a lot of things they can do with the HAARP, but he said this guy was psychotic. He was a sociopath. He was giggling when he was telling about stories where people were being killed. He was giggling. He was laughing. Like, you know, well, we, you know, 1,000 people died there, and you know, it worked, you know, buddy, it worked. All right, so they do a good job at killing people, causing droughts, and the droughts, for instance, in California, they were attempting to drive out farmers so they could be bought up by Gates and the Chinese. The Chinese want to buy California. Hook, line, sinker. All right. Why don't they do more? I think they will be doing more, but there are a lot of reasons why they might have not done much until now. I really think that the timetable is pointing to the elections in November, and now we're in a situation where there might be at least three states that will have a very difficult challenge in bringing about an election. I mean, there won't be any voting in Western North Carolina. There won't be any voting in Eastern Tennessee. There won't be any, well, there might be some voting in Northern Georgia and you know, the western side of South Carolina. I just talked today with somebody in South Carolina, and she said, there's some damage, but it's way in the extreme end of South Carolina. The center is okay, and the coastal is untouched. Okay, there is a lot going on, and much of it has a timetable of the election. I'm going to just say something funny, and it's not intended to be a joke or, you know, making light of the situation, but it's possible that there might be three states that say we can't do the election, and the other 47 will say we can, and Trump will win in a landslide, even with three states abstaining for the Electoral College vote. That's how lopsided it is. Trump has at least a 50% lead.
We'll have more with Jim Willie right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
You're listening to GoldRadio.fm. Available online at HowStreet.com, TalkDigitalNetwork.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Jim Willie. Jim, it's now illegal in California to ask for voter ID. Could this move by Governor Newsom backfire by waking people up to the election fraud machine?
Yeah, but the criminal side will boast of it, and what it will end up doing is it'll create a polarized situation. And the criminal side, they might be the majority or close to it. I have a number of really smart clients and one colleague, and they all say the same thing. In a fair election, Trump would win California easily, but he would not win the big urban centers like San Francisco, Los Angeles, maybe San Diego. San Diego is different. It's not the same. It's just not the same. So let's just call it Greater San Francisco, Silicon Valley, and Greater Los Angeles. Trump would not win that, but it's a very big state, and those two cities they're about half the population of the state, and outside of those two big cities, there are a lot of conservatives, and they don't like what's going on. I think it's going to wake up some people, but what it's likely to do is to bring about some constitutional challenges. I mean, you need a an ID to get a driver's license. You need an ID for work privileges, you know, to work at a company, work at a job. You need a driver's license or some identification for a long, long list, but not to cross the Texas border and not to vote in California. And that just sticks out. It sticks out. And a lot of really smart, honest political scientists and political observers and, you know, commentators, essayists, analysts, they're pointing out that the law is just opening the door wide for fraud. And I always joke. I joke around a lot. I say, well, maybe they'll just import 20 million Mexicans to vote in California and offer them each $100. And, you know, that's just a lousy $2 billion bill. Wait a minute, $20 billion bill. They might offer a nice little sum of money for Mexicans to come across at the expense of Alex Soros and have them vote in California. And maybe Arizona too, and New Mexico, and what the heck, why not Nevada? Let's just import some votes. Let's bring them in on a ship. Let's bring them in by the tens of thousands. You don't need an ID to vote in California. California's a fucking joke. All right, move on.
What do you think the real Trump-Harris poll numbers are?
I think Trump is ahead about 75 to 25, maybe closer to 80 versus 20. The evidence is all over the place, gigantic crowds wherever Trump goes. And it's not to see Elon Musk so much as it is to see Trump and to hear him speak and talk about how he is going to repair the country and put it on proper footing. The Kamala Harris interviews are a disaster. She stopped doing them. Campaign stops are not very well attended. They've been outed for being computer-generated image, false depictions. She's getting slammed by some of the mainstream news. I've seen CNN and Fox News rip her apart on like panels, and her supporters, her main supporters, get on and they get ripped apart. Fox News is now, I would say it's more than 50% toward the truth right now. Fox News, Maria Bartiromo, she's just constantly ripping Kamala apart and tearing down her false claims about her record. Kamala is getting ripped apart for presenting herself both as black and a centrist. They're saying now that she's too busy to do interviews. No, it's more like she's getting ripped apart every time she does, and she's illogical and cannot really explain much of anything with complexity. And it's hilarious to hear her talk about the cloud, you know, information technology, cloud storage. She doesn't know what the hell it is. She should shut up. Rather than opening her mouth, she's now on the receiving end of colossal mockery. I just had a caricature. I passed it around to a few friends. It's a caricature of Kamala with a gigantic smile. How many people does it take to change a light bulb? And Kamala says, none. I already changed it. And her fan base applauds in the dark. That's how stupid they are. They're applauding the integration and implementation of Marxist communism. They're applauding. They are that stupid. I think they're about to bring that out maybe 2 or 3 weeks before the election. I do think we're going to have an election. There's just too much talk about trying to eliminate the election. I think we're going to see a number of counties that don't participate in the election. All right? I heard a figure, 100 zip codes, Jim, in Tennessee, Carolina, and Kentucky. 100 zip codes. They're now empty. There's nothing there. They don't respond. They're not online. 100 zip codes. Now that pertains to, who knows, 20, 25, 30 counties? You can still have an election in Carolina, North Carolina. My brother went to school in North Carolina, and I went down there and watched some basketball games, and that was during the Bobby Jones era, and North Carolina State had David Thompson with his 48-inch vertical leap. And we went to a Duke game at Cameron Indoor, and they have a saying. They call North Carolina, Carolina, and it's an insult to South Carolina. But anyway, North Carolina, they could have an election, but there might be a few counties that don't participate. And Tennessee, they could have an election, but they might have several counties that don't participate. And it'll be up to those states to determine how are we going to manage that. Are they going to allow an election and say that, you know, we only had 80% of our population participate, but since it's so lopsided on the Trump victory that we're going to submit it to the Electoral College? There are going to be a lot of weird questions coming up. Kamala Harris is being absolutely destroyed politically, intellectually, socially, and her integrity. Candace Owens is ripping her apart. She's a black conservative, and she's examining the lies in Kamala Harris's book and her claims about her black heritage, which does not exist. She's of a white Jamaican heritage of slave owners. Absolute opposite of being black. She's a fraud, and she's a hoe.
At his recent rally, President Trump mentioned 325,000 children have been brought illegally across the border, and most of them are likely dead. What's he talking about?
Child trafficking. The 320,000 missing kids, they were unaccompanied by adults, and those are the ones that go missing, and that is happening now in the flood zone. Same thing. FEMA, same thing. Missing children. They go into the network and they're never seen again. They become victims of some of the most severe abuse that most good people vomit when they see evidence of it. Imagine torturing a kid and attaching, an intravenous line to draw blood out of their spinal area to capture the adrenal gland output secretions mixed with blood, and that's adrenochrome. Imagine the depletion of the little kid. I don't like even talking about it. He's talking about child trafficking, and I believe that the managers of Biden-Harris are involved in it. Child trafficking.
Do you think there are more Diddy-like operations in the U.S. and Canada?
There could be one or two, but let's not distract from the follow-through on this Diddy. I think there are 20 volumes of videotapes, and there's a battle going on in the FBI, the black hats versus the white hats within the FBI, to control the videotapes. There are going to be a lot of people whose names we recognize, actors, political leaders, judges, corporate heads, etc., and they're going to be harmed. They're going to see their lives ruined. There's a hotline for people to call in if they've got evidence or testimony about Bo Diddy and his mansion and the abuse and criminality, and I believe they got 10,000 calls. Okay, this is very big, so let's not get too concerned about other Bo Diddy mansions, but there might be one or two. I'm not concerned about that. I want follow-through on this. I don't want it shoved under the rug. The Epstein case, it's on a very long pause, Epstein Island, and Trump has promised to bring it out when he's president again. And I call him to follow through on his promise. Not only that, but Nuremberg 2 trials. I think we're going to have a lot of problems with President Trump in his second administration following through on Epstein investigations and big medicine, big pharma Nuremberg trials.
What percentage of people do you think are Satanists?
You know, I'm a statistician, so when I'm asked a question like that, I typically set aside groups, because the groups are not all the same. They're not homogeneous. They're very much heterogeneous. And by that I mean, if you're talking about the big bankers and the big Hollywood set and the big corporation billionaires, if you make a group of them and maybe another couple little segments, I believe they might be 60 to 70% Satanists, those groups. But the rank and file Americans, oh gosh, I think it's probably way under 5%. So it's a very distinct contrast. And I don't think there's much in the middle. Like if you were to say, well, what about small business? No, I don't think so. What about professional athletes? No, I don't think so. What about retail managers and operators? No, I don't think so. What about construction workers? No, I don't think so. What about pharmacists? I don't know. Maybe a little bit dirty there. Okay, it's diverse, but you know, for the groups that I initially identified, I think they're over half of them: corporate billionaires, bankers, Hollywood set. Yeah, over half. Maybe like 75%. And let's not leave out the military. The military at the highest level in the United States, combined with the military contractors. Yeah, they're in that same group. Yeah. They're in that same group, probably over 70% Satanists. All right, let's move on. That's a very touchy area.
Have you watched the new documentary, Vaxxed 3, Authorized to Kill?
No, I have not. So I'm sorry. It's on my list, but I got a long list of things to do.
George Soros is buying 200 U.S. radio stations. Do you think this is a good strategic move for Soros?
Well, George Soros died 2 years ago, so it's his son Alex who did it, and I think it will probably backfire because we have never in modern history seen a lower percentage trusting the mainstream media, and that includes radio. It's mainstream media is primarily broadcast television and major newspaper, but on an increasing basis, it's radio stations. If you have neighbors who've been killed by the vaccine, if you know people and you're all gung-ho for Trump and you've been studying Kamala Harris and her record and seeing that she did most of her work in doing fellatio rather than policy work, you're going to be annoyed by the radio stations. If you know that Kamala is a communist and you've been doing some research, you're probably going to be annoyed. And if you constantly hear the anti-Trump drumbeat of nonsense and you're annoyed by the lawfare, like in Atlanta and New York City, against Trump for frivolous charges, all of which I correctly forecasted as being frivolous and will go away, pushed to the wayside. And they all are now pushed to the wayside. I think it's going to backfire. It's Alex Soros, and his is Kamala Harris. No one wanted Kamala as vice president, but he was a gigantic donor, and he made his vote known. Well, then put Harris as the vice president. And as we, you know, intelligent people know, Joseph Biden died several years ago, and we've had a dead president and a masked man for 4 years, and this is one of the biggest jokes in the history of American politics.
Do you think the United States could break up into smaller countries?
This is a very interesting question. I have this discussion with respect to Texas rather frequently, and we believe Texas might make a move for secession. It's secession, not succession. It's SEC. For some people who misspell it and mispronounce it, it's secede from the union. And Texas might do it on the basis that they're being invaded and the federal government is part of the invasion. The federal government is aiding and abetting armed invasion. That's a very serious charge. And it might be sufficient grounds to back out of the union and go back to becoming a country like Texas was before it became a state. It's the only state that was once a country before it became a state. They're also working toward making gold and silver legal tendered and having gold as an asset in their repository. It's about $1.5 billion worth of gold. And there's word out that they want to join the BRICS Union, which would be non-dollar usage in trade. So Texas, with its oil production, offshore production, gas production, they could have it selling with the BRICS because they'd be joining the BRICS, and they might start a parade with 6 or 8 or 10 or 15 other U.S. states. Okay, so that could bring about a lot of very tough questions, but I think what's going to happen is that kind of pressure will destroy the fascist Dem Party, where you have the globalists and their puppet of Joe Biden, who, by the way, is now almost actively campaigning for Trump without saying so. I mean, Biden came out on 9/11 wearing a MAGA hat. Okay, that's a start. That told me that they've got Biden under control, the White Hats do. Then he's talking about how the borders are going to have increased flow because we want to welcome these new Americans. Okay, that's annoying a lot of people. So his job is to annoy people and turn them against the fascist Dem Party, which has not any resemblance to Democratic. And now he's saying we're going to get more hurricanes and they're all going to be intensified. He's telling us indirectly that they're being fabricated and steered. So I think we're going to get some pressure towards secession, and it's going to be used to destroy the fascist Dems. Not so much to break up the nation, the union. I don't foresee that. But wouldn't it be interesting if Texas is alone and joins the BRICS and starts a parade where the entire United States with 50 states joins the BRICS? That's what I expect to happen. It's going to be threat of secession starting a movement, and it gains tremendous momentum. And then clown states like New York and Vermont and Massachusetts, clown states, will realize if they don't join the BRICS, they're not going to have a food supply. They're not going to have a retail supply. They're not going to have a technology, cell phone, computer supply. So those clown states of New York, Vermont, and Massachusetts are going to have to wake the hell up or join the third world. So that's the kind of pressure I foresee, Jim.
At the Butler, Pennsylvania rally following President Trump's speech, opera singer sings Nessun Dorma. Nessun Dorma is played at the end of the film The Sum of All Fears, where all the traitors and deep state actors were executed. Do you think the deep state is in panic mode?
Yes. Yes. Emphatically, yes. It's one reason why Kamala, Comrade Kamala, is not doing interviews anymore. They're in panic mode. I just got a contact. I just got contact from a client, and he told me, Jim, I know you know somebody from your Pittsburgh connections, someone who knows somebody who was on stage at Butler when the shooting killed Camperone. He said, so do I. I know someone who knows someone who was on the stage and witnessed the killing of Camperone. So that's two direct testimonies. And, you know, we're not talking about, you know, 5 degrees of separation. We're talking about two. I got to say that I included Nessun Dorma. It's by Puccini. And you got to hand it to the Italians. They are a class act in opera and music. I get tingles. I get a little misty-eyed when I watch Luciano Pavarotti sing Nessun Dorma. And I'm not making this up, Jim. I've watched it 15 times in the last 3 weeks. And I decided that I need to stop because in my idle moments, it's running in my mind and I can't get it out of my mind. It's that catchy. What Trump is doing is saying, we're going to hang these sons of bitches. They've got limited time. They're on the run. We're catching them. We're arresting them. We've got thousands of them in Guantanamo. That's what he's saying. Yeah, they're in a panic mode. I tell you what's giving them the biggest panic right now. It's not being caught for election fraud. It's being on the Bo Diddy tapes. There are several politicians on the Bo Diddy tapes. They're worried sick. They're in panic mode. There are a number of reasons why Kamala Harris is not doing interviews, and that's one of them. They know that the lead for Trump is getting bigger. They know that people are watching the mainstream news, hearing that it's neck and neck, 48 to 52 or whatever frickin' nonsense. The polls are made of whole cloth. Whole cloth nonsense. They're not even doing sampling. They're making shit up. They're realizing that the public is aware that the lead is growing for Trump. It's probably closer to 60%, whereas a month ago it was probably around 50%. All right. Yeah, they're in panic mode.
To be welcomed into the club where people gained fame, fortune, and power, what's the initiation?
Wow, what a loaded question. I really didn't notice it until now, but I will try to answer it. It's to join the power group, and usually that means a baby sacrifice. That's what was done at the World Trade Center to inaugurate that building. I think, I'm not sure of the date, but, you know, 40 years ago, a baby sacrifice. It's pretty ugly, very ugly. So I'd rather not talk about it.
Isn't it interesting that former Democrats have banded together under the Republican banner to save America and the world?
Yeah, what it's showing is a fracture of the fascist Dem Party and the realization by honest political figures who want a discourse, a free discussion. They don't want censorship. They're realizing the fracture in the nation, and they're realizing the takeover of the fascist Dem Party by globalist fascists, and they're stepping aside. They don't want any part of it. They want to see debate. They want to see honest, fresh debate. I love a good debate. I tell people when I'm entering a debate, like with a good buddy, a client or something, I say, hey, look, I might get a little intense here, but don't take it personally. I'm just very passionate about a lot of things. And they say, oh, that's okay, Jim, don't worry about that. A debate is healthy. And usually what comes out of a debate is a realization that one guy is so full of shit, his eyes are brown. And that's what happened when Vance had a debate for the vice president against Walz. Walz was humiliated. He was ripped to shreds. Everything he said got disputed. He even got disputed by the hosts, the moderators. Debates are healthy. When I enter a debate with somebody, I usually learn something. How do you learn with censorship? You don't learn jack shit. I notice that there are some people who have flipped, and it's not so much because of a conscience and a turn.
Do you think the Democrats will try to steal the election?
Absolutely. I mean, if you got somebody who realizes that if he loses, if Trump wins and Kamala Harris loses, that they're going to be hunted, caught, tried, and hanged with execution, well, yeah, you're going to do it. Hey, what difference does it make if you try to do more election fraud? So what? I mean, it's like saying you're an escaped killer from death row You think they're going to commit a larceny? You think they're going to do a robbery of a store to grab a few hundred bucks? Well, they were on death row and they escaped. Wake the hell up. Yeah, of course they're going to try to steal the election. But everybody's watching, and a lot of the laws and rules have been changed. It's going to be very dicey. You know, there's some sayings that have come out. You can steal 15%, and with all the migrants and fast-tracking them to be in voter registration, you might be able to steal another 5 or 8%. So that means you can steal 20% or a little more. What are you going to do when you're 50% down? What are you going to do when you're 55% down? It's not going to make much difference. I think we're going to have an election, and three states are going to say we're impaired, and they're going to have a difficult call whether to make their electoral college vote based on 70 to 80% of the counties reporting.
Here in British Columbia, we have a provincial election October 19th. Electronic tabulators and mail-in ballots are being used. Should voters be concerned?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And you should be looking at bank records for your political leaders to see all the influence and payola that they're getting from the Chinese Communist Party. The Chinese are running British Columbia, period.
In downtown Vancouver, Canada this week, anti-Israeli demonstrators burned and ripped a Canadian flag, chanting death to Canada, death to America, as the crowd cheered. Do you think this is Trudeau's idea of build back better?
No, I think Canada's got some major problems in cleaning up their parliament, cleaning up their Royal Canadian Mounted Police, cleaning up the Toronto political figures, and cleaning up the Vancouver political figures. They need to examine their bank records. They need to do a thorough investigation. The trouble is nobody is in a position to do the investigation. I just heard that Trudeau did an escape. He's in France. I think it's semi-permanent. I don't know that for certain, but I think we're now beginning to see the end of Trudeau. We're probably going to see a fake death event of Trudeau so people stop talking about him. That's what you do. You make a fake event where Epstein is killed in a cell. I saw a comparison. I know this, it's not directly with this question, but I saw a picture of the cadaver of Epstein, and he didn't have the same nose. I mean, faking a death is so easy. And remember, a good quarter of the population is dumb as rocks. So they accept it. They're lazy mentally. Okay, you got to clean up Canada, and the United States has a major cleanup job to do itself. But you got to start with, you know, the mayor's office in Toronto and Vancouver and the premiers in those provinces, they're dirty. I mean, they had an election where a Chinese lady in Toronto won about a year ago, and she was like no more than 30% in the polls. I mean, the corruption in Canada is ridiculous. China owns it. They're running the two major centers. You need to clean it up. Look at the bank record. They're having a really hard time in Australia doing exactly that. They've identified the dirty people, and they're having a lot of trouble getting evidence because the dirty people are protecting the other dirty people. You open the door in Canada with major oil sales to China. They bought your country.
This Halloween, do you think there will be more zombies than usual?
Yeah, that's very funny. Very funny, you guys. I got to say, when I was a little kid, I was Zorro like for 5 years in a row. The zombies, they should just run around without an outfit. They're the liberals. They're the fascist Dems. They don't need a mask. They're dumb as rocks, and all they need to do is start talking, and you realize that their brains are fried, and they're zombies. So, yeah, there might be more zombies. You know, I paid attention in the late 90s and the early 2000s. I paid attention to the movie themes. I paid attention to Raccoon City and Mila Jovovich and, I can't think of the name of that movie series, but there were five of them. It was about the zombification of the American society. It's from, you know, virus research gone rogue, gone bad, gone violent, gone, you know, out of control. And you know, you can take a look at Planet of the Apes. What they did was they had a virus that the apes could handle, and it improved their intelligence. But it got out into the wild, and it killed the human population. and the apes got smarter and they banded together and they took over North America. Okay, pay attention to the movies. They're very instructive. And yeah, we've been having zombies all over the place. How many different television series are there? About four, I think, that have been about zombies in the United States, and I'm sick of it all. I'd like to get all the elites, all the billionaires who've been pushing this, and force them into a vaccine, keep them on an island, not permit them to have boats or to escape, and let them all become zombified and kill each other.
How can our listeners subscribe to the Hat Trick Letter?
Well, www.golden-jackass.com. And, you know, I'm in my 21st year now. I'm no longer a young man. The newsletter is going great guns. Obviously, there's more attention paid to the political situation and the, let's just say, the globalist cloud that is over many parts of our entire nation, many different sectors of our entire nation, the globalist cloud. And 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I had more emphasis on the vaccine, the deadly vaccine, and the falsified pandemic. I got to tell you quickly, right after January, February in 2020, I got about 12 different emails from Chinese clients who came from Hong Kong, Singapore, Australia, New Zealand, California, and Vancouver, and they all said the same thing. They said not a single dead person outside the city limits of Wuhan. It's a 5G event. They're killing people with radiation. It's not a virus event. So, you know, I have a lot of boots on the ground, and I use my consult clients to get information. And I've been gathering information about Ohio solar farms, Northern Virginia solar farms. I just got information today from my Florida wingman. Hurricane Milton is not headed toward Tampa, and that's where the military CENTCOM headquarters is. Hurricane Milton is heading toward Sarasota, direct hit with Sarasota. And I feel very sorry for people. You need to get the hell out of Dodge. There's really not a whole lot of safe places to go. There are two or three more hurricanes that they're working on. Anyway, it's golden-jackass.com. Sign up for the newsletter. Support my work. Because I've stuck my neck out, telling the truth, identifying fraud and evil, I have been subjected to a lot. And, you know, if you did a hypothesis test that what I have suffered is all very normal, you'd blow it out with like one in a trillion chance that the events I've seen are normal. One in a trillion chance. So they're not normal. That's how a hypothesis test works with a statistician in the chair. I've had three fires this year. I had another fallen roof. I've had about eight fallen roofs. I've had four fatal car crashes, an erupted septic tank, a rat attack, $100,000 rat attack, seven dead people, including a couple colleagues. Rob Kirby was murdered. Another guy, I believe, had a suspicious death. Anyway, I stick my neck out, and I'm bold. Maybe I'm bolder than I am smart on risk. I just figure you got to tell the truth. We're in a war. I got to say what's happening. Got to tell people what's going on. Got to warn them about the vaccine. Got to warn them about the fascist Dems. Got to warn them about implementation of Marxism policies atop a fascist structure. Got to warn the people. And I stick my neck out. I'm getting harmed. So hit the donate button. Hit the sponsor button. I got two nice donations today, and I'm very happy about it. And I went to my knees a few days ago, and I got a mockery email from an asshole in Contact Us a month ago saying, you're a fraud, Jim, going to your knees. What an asshole. No, you're the asshole. I didn't even respond to him. I'm not going to engage people like that. I go to my knees to thank the Lord Jesus, who I think picks me up when I get knocked down. And I had a nice lady in Alberta help me out. And, you know, KW, I thank you very much. KW, Alberta, you know who I'm talking about. this is a war. We're in a war zone. I'm a warrior without a whole lot of body armor. I'm being harmed by what I believe to be dark, powerful occult forces. And my sweetheart has been harmed also. And it's very nasty what's going on. And it gets me really down sometimes, Jim. Really gets me down. And I break down in private moments sometimes when it's just too much to handle. So I need help to keep going. And if it weren't for a lot of Christians and a lot of people I regard as truth warriors for their aid since 2019, I wouldn't be here. I would have been gone 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I would have been gone. So thank you very much. Continue in your support. I will continue in being bold. I will continue in using my head and getting my information, putting it together and warning people and figuring out what's going on. I mean, with my six other brains and my brain together, we don't get tricked too much. We don't get tricked much at all. So sign up for the newsletter, make a consult payment, make a, make a donation and make a sponsor button. Help me out. I'm here. I don't feel alone, but sometimes I feel absolutely besieged with attacks. And it's hard to hide, very hard to hide. So thanks for having me on, Jim. It's been good. Been great.
My guest has been Jim Willey. Thank you very much for being on the show. Editor of the Hat Trick Letter online at golden-jackass.com.
Comments made on goldradio.fm are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any manner whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at howstreet.com, talkdigitalnetwork.com. goldradio.fm is a production of How Street Media Incorporated. Executive producer is Tom Allen.